It's a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Why can I not all weekend get that song out of my head? They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating your pets. I mean, Donald, I love you and everything, but maybe you shouldn't have said that in the debate. Whatever about, you know, people putting up videos of that actually happening in Springfield, Ohio, maybe it wasn't the best thing to do. But they've made it into some great songs, by the way, on TikTok. And it's hilariously funny. What wasn't hilariously funny, of course, were the events of the weekend where they're saying there was a second assassination attempt on Donald Trump, seemingly a sniper or somebody with an AK-47 in the bushes on a golf course, thanks to a member of the Secret Service who saw the gun pointing out from between the fence that was averted and a man has been arrested. We'll give you more on that a bit later on if we get more information on it. There's an argument going around at the moment, which is a pathetic argument. Was he a Democrat or Republican? It seems he was a donator to the Democratic Party, seemingly voted for Donald Trump in the last election, but then lost faith in him and switched sides. To the Democratic Party and has been donating to the Democrats ever since. He seems obsessed from what we can see with Ukraine and the war in Ukraine and trying to stop the war, and a one-man show trying to stop the war in Ukraine. Anyway, we shall talk about that more maybe another time if we can. But it does seem that they are determined for Donald Trump not to get into office this year. Now, speaking of office, we have our own elections to worry about. We don't know when they're going to be. The rumour was that it was going to be before Christmas, but Simon Harris seems to be indicating that it may go the full term, which will be March. I can't personally see that happening. I think we'll get a nice budget, which will be a friendly budget, which always happens just before an election. You get a few income tax drops, you know, a big increase for the pensioners, big increase for social welfare. Maybe, I don't know, they'll do something minimum wage. I doubt they're going to reduce the 9% or the VAT rate back to 9% for hospitality. Maybe they will as a little sweetener and a softener to get a few extra votes. But either way, it's up to you who to vote for this year. But the problem is, who do you vote for? The Minister of Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, says he has no regrets, according to the Irish Daily Mail, no regrets on immigration in his term of office. He said Ireland and all European countries are going to see greater levels of migration. They're going to see greater levels of people seeking international protection. And it's important that we put in place a system that can cater for the greater degree of demand. This is greater than we have at the moment, obviously. And that can deal with it fairly efficiently and quickly. Asked if there's anything he could have done differently in the last 2 years in immigration. No, Mr. O'Gorman concedes he would have put in place an unrepentant new leader of the Green Party. Roderick O'Gorman this week, the community engagement teams earlier, and given them a greater role in terms of informing people about moves in their particular area. Now, this is the same government, of course, who are responsible not just for the immigration crisis, but the housing crisis over the last 5 years, the cost of living crisis, the healthcare crisis and the waiting list, as well as the children's hospital crisis. The waste of government funds on a bike shed, which we still have no answers to. The pandering to NGOs. Let's not forget, of course, the waste of money on a useless referendum that nobody even wanted, to be honest with you. And then we have those ridiculous speech laws that they seem obsessed with. So the list is kind of endless. And it's clear that many people want change. But who? Sinn Féin? Well, according to the polls, they're kind of slipping away. And they're slipping away because they've been a disastrous opposition party over the last 5 years. They pretty much went along with everything the government did. In fact, many believe they would have been worse than the government if they had have actually got into power 5 years ago. Okay, you have many independents out there and two smaller parties as well, including Independent Ireland and AIM2. But really, do they have any power? I mean, don't get me wrong, Padraig Tobin has been a voice in the Dáil and he's asked all the right questions under freedom of information and got all the right answers. But does that solve anything? Or does he get all the answers? I mean, realistically, the bike shed situation, for example, has been going on for the last 3 weeks and still nobody's accountable. Micheál Martin kind of snubbed at Grip Media when they asked him, was there going to be transparency and somebody held accountable? And they're kind of going, nah, there's no blame game here. 335,000 at a bike shed that's worth about 20 grand. And there's no blame game. Now, I know it's only a small amount of money in the big scheme of things, but it's the principle of the waste of public funds. And yet nobody seems to be answerable. The SPHE book, of course, the anti-Irishness that was in it 2 weeks ago. Of course, the government have apologised. They said, yeah, the publisher's going to take it out. It's going to be withdrawn. That's fine. There's loads of other stuff in that book, by the way, that need to be withdrawn. But we leave that for the moment. But again, nobody's accountable. Who approved it? Somebody had to read it and go, yeah, that's okay. So somebody must have approved it, but yet nobody's answerable. Nobody's ever answerable. Nobody's ever accountable. And nobody makes them accountable. So who are you going to vote for? Vote for Padraig Tobin and AIM2? Maybe. Vote for Independent Ireland? Maybe. But can they really make a difference? Are they too small to make a difference? Vote for independence? They're pretty much useless, aren't they? I mean, let's be clear about it. There's some great independent candidates out there. But what can they do? Can they make a difference? Probably not. So most likely, it looks like, according to Grip Media yesterday, a great article written by John McGurk, we're going to be stuck with the same bunch of cowboys for the next 5 years again. That's to 2030. Look at the damage they've done in 5 years. You can only imagine the damage they could do in another 5 years. So who are you going to vote for? Let us know what you think. The number is 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. If you want to come on, by the way, just WhatsApp that number and say, you know, let me on or whatever it is, and they shall surely let you on. But joining me is Padder Tobin from Main 2. Padder, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good. Padder, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, I've seen you in the Dáil. You ask all the right questions on the freedom of information. Sometimes you get the answers, but does anything ever happen? Sometimes, rarely. The same it goes for independence. And people have kind of lost a bit of faith. So what do you say to people when, you know, you're at the front door and you're saying, look, we're here for change. But realistically, Padder, you know, even if you put a candidate in every single constituency and you maybe get 5 or 6 elected, 10 maybe, I don't know, at a push, what difference is that going to make?
Well, first of all, Niall, I would say it'll make a massive difference if people vote aim to. I would say to people, if you think aim to, vote aim to. Now, people say, well, how effective are you going to be? Just check out the recent referendums there last March. We were the only political party that had the backbone to make a decision on that, take a stand, make the argument, and we, with others, defeated the government. No other
Padder, to be fair, it wasn't just you. And yes, you were the only party who had the backbone to stand up again and tell people to vote no. But there was a lot of other people out there, of course, in the Shannon. You had Michael McDool. Spoke about it. Sure. Grip Media spoke about it. You know, very little of the mainstream media, by the way, are pushing the no. They were all championing and trumping the yes vote. But realistically, there was a lot of people involved in pushing that no vote, particularly in the last 2 weeks, including the Ditch, by the way, including the Ditch, who had that great piece in 2 days before the vote.
Yeah. I would say, in fairness, there were a few people, and there were a handful of people, to be honest, who made an effort to strongly campaign in relation to that. And I do think politically the only party that did that was AIM2. And I wouldn't minimise the impact that we made in those terms. A second issue I'd make a point on here is, for example, the government were ignoring the issue of immigration there up until about 11 or 12 months ago. And again, the only political party that was asking the right questions, that was forcing facts and figures into the political debate, which cornered the government that they couldn't actually ignore it anymore, was AIM2 in relation to that. I believe, you know, we're the best organised opposition to the damage that this government is making. So, for example, we came ahead of the Labour Party, ahead of Sock Dems, ahead of People for Profit in the last election. That's a significant milestone. And I do believe, you know, that AIM2 have come of age in terms of impact and in terms of growth as well. There's at least 10 constituencies out there where the best chance of taking a seat off Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is an AIM2 candidate. And, you know, if we are successful in the majority of those, we will have a big impact in the next election. You mentioned accountability. AIM2 has been the party of accountability over the last while. We have said very clearly that if a person at senior civil service level or at government level doesn't do their job, they should lose their job. No other political party has that message, and no other political party has the determination to enforce that. And the reason why we're determined to enforce it, Niall, is this: because one, the government are incinerating billions of euros belonging to the taxpayers' money, and two, because of their waste, key infrastructural projects are not being delivered. And, you know, that's at a major cost in terms of the Children's Hospital, the National Maternity Hospital, you know, Metro North, you know, Meath, Dunavant to Dublin rail line, Western Rail Corridor, even like, you know, Middleton flood defences. The government is grinding to a halt in terms of investment in key infrastructure projects.
You mentioned immigration, sorry, Padder. You mentioned immigration. What do you say to your detractors who have said in the past that you haven't been strong enough on immigration? And some of them have said that, I've seen it online, that they said, you know, they don't believe that you're strong enough on immigration, that maybe you're a little bit weak on immigration. And, well, don't get me wrong, there isn't anybody else who's going to challenge the government on it, because certainly Sinn Féin haven't challenged the government on it. But I mean, that you're not strong enough immigration, that you don't stand with the people sometimes in relation to protesting or whatever it is. What do you say to those detractors?
Well, first of all, there's always going to be people who say we're too strong, and there's going to be people who say we're too weak. I believe, actually, we have a very sensible, logical and effective position. And our position is, yes, in terms of those who are really suffering from war and violence, we are not going to shut that door. But we believe that we can significantly reduce the numbers coming into Ireland with a strict, efficient, and fast migration system that differentiates between those who need help and those who don't need help fast. So we would create a new border agency, which would actually make sure that the laws are being enforced. We found out that 5,000 people received deportation orders just last year. Only 15% of them were ever actually deported. The government didn't know anything about it. So we would make sure that if a person fails the asylum process, they are returned home.
But how are you going to stop the flood of people coming into Ireland? 30,000. Roger Gorman expects that number to go up because the demand, according to him, in EU countries is going to go up. All we got to do is look at Italy and look at what's happening at the moment across Europe. It's disastrous. Many countries in Europe, by the way, now going against the EU, including Hungary and many others, saying, listen, no more. Hungary even busing them to Brussels now at this stage. So they're saying, look, we're done with it. We're finished with it. We've taken our lot. And don't get me wrong, that doesn't discount people who come through the legitimate process, right? People who come in, you know, and want to work in hospitality or whatever it is. And people, you know, I see government ministers conflating the two. Nobody's against diversity. Nobody's against immigration. But people are against illegal immigration. You're not even allowed to use the term illegal immigration anymore. It now has to be referred to as irregular migration because they're softening it and diluting it. So how are you telling the people? It's all well and good saying, yeah, the ones who come here and we process them and they're not legitimate, they're only economic migrants. Yes, they should be deported and we need to enforce those deportation orders. But in the interim, when those people are coming here, that takes a lot of time. And it's been pointed out in the Shannon already that we don't have the staff numbers to deal with that. It's going to take months and months and months just to approve somebody or disapprove somebody. And then the appeal process starts. That's another year. At that stage, they just apply for permission to remain. So how are you going to deal with the influx in the first place?
So the point is, the reason why we have so many people coming over is because the message that has gone out from Roger Gorman's office is, if you come to Ireland, it's going to take 2, 3, 4 years for your first application to be processed. If you fail that, you'll have maybe an appeal that's going to take another 3, 4, 5 years to be processed. And even if that fails and you get a deportation order, the majority of deportation orders will not be implemented. So we have sent a message out that our system is broken. And as a result, we need to send the opposite message out. We need to implement a 12-week initial application system, a 12-week appeal system, and then decision is made. And then the person's either...
But you can say that, Pater. But Michael McDougall pointed out in his figures, he works out statistically, based on how many appeals can be done per day and how many applications can be done per day, it's just not possible at the moment.
That's a staffing issue, Niall. And the reason, one of the big problems we have in this country is the government refuses to employ the necessary staff. And actually, you know, if I want to set up a sweet shop in the middle of, you know, Artane, I have to make sure that I have a pay terms and conditions recruitment policy that is competitive. And either we actually make the recruitment for this process competitive so we can employ the staff, or we never get to employ the staff. And you know what? It's a fool's economy by not employing the staff, because the actual cost of not processing speedily is far greater than actually making sure that a person has proper pay terms and conditions to be able to work in the position in the first place. And so, you know, you look at Denmark, for example. Denmark is another European Union country. It has implemented a far stricter regime, a far more efficient regime, and a speedy regime. And actually, it has found that the numbers applying for asylum, even in Denmark, has significantly fallen in the past. So people kind of want, you know, a big bang answer on this. They want to say, listen, we're going to shut everything down or, you know, et cetera. All I'm saying is our solution is the practical solution.
And how are you going to deal with the EU? How are you going to deal with the EU? Of course, the EU are coming down heavy on countries who are refusing to take, you know, the quota, so to speak, and fining countries. And, you know, going forward, of course, with the EU Migration Pact, we will be obliged to take a certain amount of people or pay a large fine to the EU. So how are you going to deal with that?
Aintu will take Ireland out of the European Migration Pact. I do not believe the European Migration Pact is going... But I'll tell you why. I don't believe it's going to work anyways, Niall, because there's too many...
I agree with you. It should have never been voted for by the European MEPs that we sent over, the gobshites that are over there at the moment. We sent the same ones back again. But here's the thing. How are you going to take us out? Because it's not something that we can remove ourselves from at this stage.
Well, it's an interesting point that before the European elections, Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, says that Ireland could actually remove itself from the European Migration Pact. And she said that on the back of an argument that we made that the European Migration Pact allowed the European Union change the rules. And because we didn't have a veto over that, we wouldn't be able to stop the rules. But I will. It is a baseline objective of AIM2 that we would remove Ireland from the European Migration Pact. We will. Okay. We would not implement the European Migration Pact.
The other thing as well is the cost of living crisis. Now, you know, every political party is promising houses. You know, I mean, I think at Labour at one stage said 1 million houses. You might as well have said 10 million, to be honest with you. Look, Sinn Féin are promising loads of houses, affordable houses. I don't know how they're going to manage to do that. They say they're going to do it on government land. Like, it's, you know, anybody can throw, you know, billions of euro at houses, but we've nobody to build the damn things. That's the biggest problem. So how are AIM2 going to fix that problem when there's a massive demand for affordable, and I mean affordable, not, you know, what the government says is affordable, which is 400,000. Affordable is 250,000. So how are AIM2 going to supply that demand? Yes.
So the first issue for us is we need to make sure that the empty houses in this country are used. So there's 4,000 empty local authority homes. They're empty for an average 8 months of the year. In private rental homes, they're only empty for 3 weeks, which is shows again that infrastructural problem that the government has in making sure infrastructure is available to people. So we will make sure that local authority homes are flipped far faster. There are also 90,000 homes right through the country. The government currently are providing a grant to get those homes back into use, but those grants are so slow that it would take about 1,250 years before all of those homes will be brought back into use. So we would significantly ease the application process and ease and increase the amount of money going into that grant so that they can be used first and foremost. The second thing is we need to make sure that we speed up the planning process. The planning process is broken in this country, again, partly because there isn't enough planners employed by the state. We would significantly increase the number of people who are working on apprenticeships and seek to bring home construction workers.
So what you're saying is it's a long-term plan. So you're not going to promise people you're going to fix this tomorrow, because the government seem to be, and Labour and everybody else are promising, you know, we can sort this out in 4 or 5 years. It's not a 4 or 5 year plan. It's a decade plan, isn't it?
There's a number of levers that can be pulled in a speedy fashion. There are obviously the empty homes. That's the fastest element of this. But in reality, we need tradesmen and tradeswomen functioning in the state. That's simply not there at the moment. Also, you know, one of the problems is it's getting very expensive to build at the moment. A lot of existing builders who want to build can't build. So we want to see a situation where we look at the taxes that are part of the whole construction industry starts to be reduced as well. Like, we want to reduce the VAT on construction materials currently, so it would make it cheaper to build.
But is it one of the other big problems now in building at the moment, obviously, is everything has to be built A-rated. And obviously, because of the Green Party's policies and regulations now, there is a huge cost factor involved in, you know, central heating in new houses, all this kind of thing adds a massive cost to it as well. So I suppose that brings me to my next question. AIM2's policy when it comes to climate. A lot of people, okay, look, we want to be kind to the environment, you know, we want to do the right thing, all that kind of thing. But, you know, they believe that the Green Party are only about taxing people. I mean, when it comes to right down to putting fuel into your car at the petrol station, everything is about taxing people. You know, so what are AIM2 going to do about that? Are you going to remove some of those green taxes that are crippling people currently at the moment when it comes to their energy bills? Because the energy bills, as we know, part of that is tax as well. How are AIM2 going to tackle the climate crisis? Because people will say, some people, they want you to tackle the climate crisis, other people don't. How are they going to do that? Or what is your position on that?
So first of all, just on you mentioned regulation, you know, easing over shop accommodation is one of the big easy wins that exists in this country in terms of housing. It's actually, I was born and raised above a garage when I was a kid in the centre of a town. There's so many units throughout the country that are actually empty in terms of over shop accommodation.
Oh yeah, walk down Angel Street or Georgia Street any day of the week, and there's a lot of old shops there with, you know, rooms up over them that nobody's using.
Absolutely, yeah. And that would create a vibrancy in those local communities as well. In terms of the climate situation, like, we're open, we're honest with people. We do believe there is man-made climate change, and we openly say that. We do believe we have a responsibility to try and fix that. We believe that the Green Party are actually the most damaging element of this, because they're all stick, no carrot. So the Green Party's objective is to increase taxes on fuels so much that it forces people out of cars into public transport. But in the main, there isn't a lot of public transport across the country, and people can't use that properly. So one of the objectives we want to do is invest properly in public transportation links and to reduce the cost of the use of public transport. The second issue there is, there's a lot of farmers across the country at the moment that are hardly making a living at all. We want to see energy as a crop. There's no reason why farmers can't be given more help in terms of micro-generation of electricity, either through small-scale wind, small-scale solar, and small-scale biodigestion. which would allow these farmers produce more sustainable energy and make sure that they get an income off as well. You know, even the issue of retrofitting of homes. You know, believe it or not, in 2013, this will interest you now. In 2013, I developed a project which would have sought to deep retrofit 500,000 homes in Ireland over a five-year period. The reason I did it at the time was because I knew that all of those construction workers that were working during the boom were leaving Ireland at that time. And I wanted a mechanism where we could actually spend state money to increase the livability and warmth of homes, save on the expenditure on fuel, save on emissions, and keep these construction workers home. And yes, the government refused my plan in relation to that at the time. It would have meant that it cost far less to do it at the time, and it would have meant that hundreds of thousands of those construction workers would have been kept in Ireland. But the government, with no long-term foresight, decided to do that as well. We need to encourage people through the carrot to change behaviours in terms of climate change.
Okay, and I'm not taxing.
What the government is doing with the stick is actually making it more difficult.
Oh, well, look, you know, I was in town the other day, to be honest with you. I was in town the other day, and that new traffic plan, by the way, is an absolute disaster. Instead of going down the quays, I had to drive about at least another 20 minutes to get to where I was going to go. In other words, it actually took me longer to get to where I was going to go, so I spent longer in the car. So it was a kind of pointless exercise. Anyway, just finally, Padder, you know, people are concerned. If they don't want to vote for Éireann Tú, they might want to vote for an independent, for example, and people have that choice. They feel that, you know, either Éireann Tú, Independent Ireland, or you know, or an independent candidate, that really their vote is wasted. That's, and I don't know what you're going to tell people that, because I don't know, are you going to work with Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael? Because most likely they are going to be in the next government. So are you going to work with them?
First of all, we've said under, I suppose Independent Ireland have said that they will discuss governments with Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael. We've said from the outset, there's no circumstance where we will return Fianna Gael into government. There's no circumstance where we will return Fianna Fáil under the leadership of Micheál Martin into government. Absolutely not. They're red line issues for ourselves. Let me tell you this. When I left Sinn Féin, I had a choice to become a independent TD for me. Focus on the hospital, focus on the rail line, focus on crime and antisocial behaviour. And I would have had a nice handy life for myself, to be honest, and I was tipping away at those issues over that period of time. But my attitude at the time was, we need to make systemic change in how this country is ruled. So to do that, we need to build a movement of people, a people where this, we have 2,000 members, 60 commons functioning across the country. And I know that the government have actually priced in independence. The government knows there's going to be 12, 15, 20 independents in any given Dáil. But what they can't handle is when one political party is taking votes out of every single ballot box in the country, because then they're under pressure in areas right across the country, mm-hmm. and then they respond. And I actually think that's our, you know, policy on migration forced the government into responding. You know, even the referendums, it got rid of Leo Varadkar, it changed Sinn Féin's and Fine Gael's direction somewhat over that period of time. I would not underestimate the power that a small, well-organized political party can have in terms of changing the debate in this country. And the second thing is, Éireann Tú will not be a small political party for long, because we are going to take significant seats in the next Dáil. But I would say to your listeners, don't stand idly by. Don't give out and tap away on Twitter or on social media. Get up and do something and get involved.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Padder Tobin, Éireann Tú. Thank you for coming on today and talking to us.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Padder Tobin has said it. Get involved. That is it, isn't it? Register to vote, by the way, which is very, very important. If you're not already registered to vote, please do so. There's no point in you shouting and roaring as they did during the European elections to me and then turn around and say, oh, well, I actually wasn't registered to vote. I want to go to Melissa and Castle Maliki Steenson, but I want to go to Morris first, if I can. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing?
It is, yeah. And the original question was, look, you know, the paper over the weekend, Roderick O'Gorman says he has no regrets on immigration in his term of office, which blows my mind. And he does go on to say, by the way, the problem is going to get worse. We're going to see greater levels of migration, and we just have to put things in place to deal with it. Anyway, it's one of the biggest issues in the election. So who are you going to vote for if they're all the same? Let's be clear about it. They're all the same. Now, we spoke to Padder Tobin.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, is it worth voting for smaller parties or independents when realistically, the point I was making to Padder is, they don't have a huge amount of power.
Exactly. Well, I suppose if you flooded the Dáil with a load of independents from working class areas, put up somebody in every working class area around the country to go against the government and the establishment, I can see people will vote them in, and they can hold the Dáil to account then and hold it to ransom, because that's what they're doing with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll predict on your show that O'Gorman is going to lose his seat in Dublin 15, where I live and where he lives.
Do you think so?
I guarantee if he loses his seat. I think so, yeah.
I've predicted those kind of things in the past, and they've never happened.
Yeah, and, well, I'll tell you, he's gone now, because why do you think Leo pulled out? Why do you think Leo bailed out of politics, and so is Ryan?
But here's Morris, here's the thing. How did Éowyn O'Regan get a seat in Europe? I genuinely believed he was disliked, apart from people in Clontarf and Dunleary. I genuinely believe he was disliked. Now, don't get me wrong, he did it because he got transfers to the Green Party. But it's irrelevant. He still got a seat, and he was disliked. We sent back to Europe the four main parties again. So, you know, I think you're a bit delusional, Morris, if you think they're not going to get the votes.
Well, I'll be honest with you, proven to me, and they've proven to me, that any party, no matter who they are, will get into bed with the devil rather than give up power. And that's the extent they wanted to keep you out. They actually went against what they stood for to keep you out. Mm-hmm. And what does that tell you, what you think of the people? Right? So to be honest with you, if there's somebody out there like Malinsey Stevenson or Gavin Pepper, and they want to start up a party called the Irish People's Party or the Irish Citizens People's Party, if somebody wants to start one up, I'll be a ground soldier and I'll do the groundwork.
Why wouldn't you vote for just Maliki as an independent? He doesn't have to be in a party. Do you think he has enough power as an independent?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the calling is there now for people to realise that the working class people of Ireland, hard working class people like myself and thousands of others out there that are keeping this economy going, we want change and we want what's right for us and our families. This government spent 10 million. Of taxpayers' money fighting the cost of European rights over the 13 billion. What a disgrace. What a waste of taxpayers' money. They spent £10 million of our taxes to fight Europe saying we don't want the 13 billion.
Well, here, Morris, look, it's a deeper conversation about the Apple money, right? I do understand to some degree why we fought it. Because we didn't want a message to go across the world that Ireland wasn't tax-friendly, you know, for Europe, for worldwide investment. They wanted to send a message out that we were responsible and in charge of our own taxes and we make our own decisions. Sadly, they lost that against Europe. So now foreign investment knows that Europe are responsible for our taxes, not us. So I do understand why that money was spent. And by the way, in relation to that 13 billion, I don't want to get into it again too deeply in the show, we don't have the time. That's not our money. Everybody keeps going, what are we going to do with the 13 billion? There's loads of countries that are going to make a claim on that money. So it's not ours. So, you know, we'll be lucky to get a few quid out of it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But if it's going to go to good use, put it to good use rather than the wastage that we have already. Because I was really surprised that you're saying that the bike shedding was a small amount of money. That's the price of a house.
What I'm saying, from a governmental point of view, the public funds, it's a small amount of money in the big scheme of things. But here's the thing, and somebody said to me the other day, why are you bothered with a boil and it's only a small amount of money? If we can diddle that small amount of money, because let's be clear, a bike shed isn't worth more than 20 grand. And, you know, we spent 335,000 and we've no answers as to who's responsible, who signed off on it. If that amount of money can be ignored, well, then what else is being ignored? That's my argument.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand. It's a big chunk of money when you see what it was wasted on, you know, because that's only street furniture.
Okay, loads of people to get to. Who are you going to vote for then? Have you decided?
Anybody that stands against this government, anybody that comes into my area, Dublin 15, whether it's any of the parties that's there, I will, Greens, Fianna Fáil, or Fianna Gael are off the mark. I told Jack Chambers to come back in 20 years on his knees.
What about Sinn Féin? Will you vote for them?
It depends on what they're going to stand for.
But you know what they're standing for. You've seen them for the last 5 years in action. You don't need to know.
Well, they went against the people in the referendum and they paid the price for that. So learn from your mistakes.
Well, they went against the people in the hate speech laws too. They went against
Any independent that's willing to go in there, I'll vote for them because I want this three-headed snake government out at all costs. Thanks, Niall.
All right, thanks very much, Nate Morris. Let me go to Melissa. Melissa, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Good. Melissa, I don't have a huge amount of time for each person today, but who are you going to vote? Are you running again? Because you ran the local elections at one stage. Are you running elections? No. No.
My name is in at the moment, so hopefully yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So if you weren't running yourself personally, who would you recommend people vote for? Because people feel there's no point in voting for independents because they've no power.
Well, I have a vote as well outside of if I was running or not, and I can. It would be fully nationalist only, be independent or a nationalist new parties.
Okay.
They are the only people that have stood since 2018, 19, and I stood with nationalist parties myself in the past, and we were the only people speaking about the mass immigration, held it and had policies back in 2019. I stood personally in the by-election in Wexford. You can look back. I'm speaking live on Wexford Radio. I'm speaking about illegal migrants coming into trucks in Rosslare, and I was screamed and shouted down by everyone at that time, and look at the state of this country right now. So I would definitely only be and calling for people in their communities to have the strength to stand up. We cannot compare local elections to general elections, two completely different things, Niall. And I do believe the nationalists will get people into gangster house, as I call it, come next election. I really do believe. And I just want to pull out here now. Pedder did vote for the migrants to come in. He's always been open borders and he's very much into
the EU. What do you mean he voted?
And then flip the switch.
Okay, when you say he voted for migrants to come in, I don't understand the point you made.
When he was with Sinn Féin, obviously.
When he was with Sinn Féin, I don't know what you're exactly referring to, but he would have had to have, obviously, there would have been a whip system. So he would have no choice. That's why he left Sinn Féin.
I
have to be fair. It'd be unfair to suggest that he voted for migrants or voted for the system that we currently have at the moment, the disaster, when he was with Sinn Féin, when he's not with Sinn Féin anymore.
I can get a clip of him speaking on one of our Irish news shows.
When he was with Sinn Féin.
And he was all about...
when he was with Sinn Féin. When he was with Sinn Féin.
No, sorry, he wasn't. He was in into it at the time. He was on Irish TV, on a panel, and he was constantly protecting the whole open border thing. So
no, he wasn't. You can say that if you want, but I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that Pedder has been quite strict when it comes to immigration and controlling immigration. I know he has been criticised for not being hard enough, but in saying that, he outlined today exactly what he's looking for.
But he was all about keeping us locked down in the COVID, and they were all coming in unvaccinated. So I'd have a lot of questions for Pedder and all of that.
Okay, well, maybe you get that opportunity again to ask him all those questions.
Yeah, please, God.
Yeah.
Just to say there, look, with 3,016 new citizens, again, it's the 17th ceremony this year. As far as I'm concerned, anything you see rise there in Fine Gael is what's coming in. If this is not buying votes, I don't know what is. People need to get out and get registered and be aware of this in this country. The 17th ceremony this year of new citizenship. They only have to be in the country 3 years, fill out a piece of paper, and boom, you're an Irish citizen and can vote in a general election. I find this shocking. We have people coming in. It only takes them 4 days to collect their PPS number. And within 4 working days of arriving in this country, be it illegal or illegal, at the IPO, they have €113 and they can get another additional needs payment. This has to stop. This country cannot keep doing this.
Okay, Melissa, thank you very much indeed for that. Let me just go to Carla because she's just on her break, but Maliki, I will come to you in a second. Carla, hi, how are you?
Hi there, Niall. I'm completely at a loss of what to do at this stage because I'm in Dublin, South Central, so I'm in Drim now, right? So, and it's the stomping ground of Breed Smith, Angus O'Snell.
She's not running. Breed Smith's not running anyway, so.
I understand that. But the problem is that people of my, your and my viewpoint on all of this, we are screwed when it comes to general elections, local elections, elections in general, because we don't have anyone to vote for. You know, like they're all from the people before profits and the Solidarity and the Green Party, and we just don't have any representation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who I'm going to be able to vote for in the upcoming election.
So you don't think there's going to be a candidate there with your values?
At this stage, no. There were one or two, you know, independents going up for Europe and, you know, the locals in the most recent elections. But they didn't have, like, I didn't know their names at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, apart from one or two, like, there was one independent who started calling a couple of years ago, you know, pre-canvassing, you know, but there's nothing for people like me.
And even if you did have an independent to vote for, do you think they'd have enough power to make any changes whatsoever?
See, I really am questioning the whole thing. Like, I'm the parent of a special needs child, and we lost our disability network team last year because they all walked out. Now, you know what the waiting system is like in this country. And, you know, I don't know, like, can someone please answer this question? Why do you have to have a degree to be a sitting TD or the Taoiseach?
You don't.
Because you don't at all.
No, you don't have to have a degree.
Like, why aren't there people with common sense who haven't come from
anybody, you, Carol, I don't know if you have a degree or not. I don't have any degrees. I ran for election, the European elections. Anybody can run for election. You don't have to have a degree.
I just have no faith in, you know, like,
why don't you run yourself?
Because some of us are completely, like, overwhelmed with our kids and our situations. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the time to fight in the door.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I get that.
Out there, and one thing I really have to put out there, which I don't know how it's even legal at this stage. Why has the Minister for Children for the last donkey's years been childless? Like, it's something that hurts my brain to think about.
Okay, so you believe, like, a Minister for Children should have children, a Minister for Education should have been a teacher, so they should have had appropriate jobs or be in appropriate positions to understand the needs of the people. And I get that. Many people would agree with you, Carla. Carla, thank you very much indeed for that, because I have to go up, move on. I have loads of people to get to. Thank you, Carla. Malachy Steenson, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Malachy, I spoke to, you know, Aintu there, to Pádraig Tobin, you know, as to why we should vote for smaller parties, or independents for that matter. And, you know, Malachy, I could give you a vote tomorrow, but realistically, you're one man in the Dáil. Okay, you can ask a few questions. And in fairness to Pádraig, he does ask questions and, you know, sometimes does get answers, but it doesn't make any changes.
Well, if there are enough people like me elected, then it will make a change. I mean, clearly one independent on their own, because we will control. I mean, this is going to be a very tight Dáil. The numbers will be very tight. Every vote will matter. And if we have enough people of like mind in there, and it's up to the people. If the people decide not to put us in, well, then so be it.
But independents are not of like mind. Here's the problem that we have. If all of the independents, or many of the independents, had the same values, same morals, same thinking, same policies, it would be great. They could join together and, you know, form a union of some description, which has been attempted on a few occasions but failed miserably. I mean, but, you know, you, for example, and maybe Gavin Pepper and a couple of others are similar, of a similar thinking. But there are things that you differ on. You both differ on.
Of course there are. But the main issue, Niall, the main issue that we have to deal with in the next Dáil is immigration. And we need...
Well, it's not just immigration, it's housing. Housing is a big problem.
Hold on. Yeah. All of those problems, Niall, stem from immigration. You cannot solve the housing problem or the hospital problem or the schools problem or any other problem in this country unless you close the borders and stop increasing demand. That's a simple fact. So we would hope to have enough people of like mind in that Dáil in order to push through our position and to stop the increase in population.
But we've seen Matty McGrath, we've seen Carol Nolan, we've seen, you know, Richard Donoghue.
Okay, well, there's two people you've named who will be back in the Dáil, hopefully. You've mentioned myself and Gavin Pepper and others. We're already into half a dozen people then. And that may be this Dáil is going to be very tight. Six TDs could make the difference. We may well hold the balance of power now.
But somebody just texted in and said they wouldn't vote for you. And I'm just telling you what they said. I wouldn't vote for Malachy. He's a single issue candidate.
Well, look at my political career. I'm hardly a single issue candidate. But the main point is you cannot solve
I was accused of that too, the European elections. So I wouldn't be too insulted by it. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
I'm not insulted by it. And if I was to be insulted by half the things that said to me, sure, you know, I'm not a woke liberal. So, you know, these things are water off a duck's back. I don't go whinging to the media complaining that somebody said boo to me, you know. If you're in the heat of the fire or in the kitchen, you know, then that's what you have to take. I mean, I've had two attempts on my life during the course of this, just like Donald.
Yeah.
You know, so I have huge empathy with him. And I noticed when Harris was on this morning, he didn't wish Donald Trump, the next president of the United States, well. He just said, oh, these things happen more or less. And, you know, an incident happened.
I didn't hear that, but I'm surprised.
Well, I'm paraphrasing now.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee if Kamala Harris was the victim of an attempted assassination.
Oh, they'd be hopping up. It would have been the lead item. Not a suspect that maybe somebody fired a few shots.
Yeah.
You know, the FBI have confirmed, and the Secret Service, that the man was in custody.
He's clear. He's a clear
supporter
lefty.
Of the Democrats. And I would suggest look at that his the profile Democrats picture. Change their look at name his... immediately.
Yeah, look at his profile. Look at his profile picture on his Twitter account. It's got a million flags on it, and he's anti-racist, anti-fascist.
He even has the Ivory Coast flag on it. Did you see that?
I saw that. I mean, the guy was clearly, you know, he's been influenced. And here's the thing. They talk about the right wing. You know, both attempts on his life, by the way, have been made by the left wing. They talk about the right wing and be the ones that are dangerous. Most of the danger we're seeing at the moment, by the way, is by these anti-fash left wing head cases.
Now, the problem is that they are so afraid of Donald Trump because he's going to put a stop to their gallop. He says he'll end the war in Ukraine. He says he'll win Palestine. And, you know, shouldn't we, as people who want peace around the world, say, well, let's give him a chance rather than put in the one who is intent on bringing us into a third world war? And Biden has done his best to create that scenario already.
Well, most people are not aware of that. That situation is getting gravely dangerous at the moment, of course, in relation to...
We are on a precipice, Niall. This is why they want to kill Trump. This is why they wanted to kill the guy in Slovenia earlier in the year. This is why they want to remove, in this country, people like me from speaking out and standing up. And, you know, people can say it's a single issue. The most important issue in this country at the moment is immigration, because all of our other problems stem from that.
And you think by people voting for you and other independents, you can make a difference?
Well, let me say this now. Not voting for people like me will ensure that this country is totally destroyed.
You have the same values as AIM 2, so why don't you just join AIM 2?
Well, hold on. Let's be a bit clear on that. Now, I have a lot of time for patter and all that, and agree with some of the stuff. And,
well, you have the same values, haven't you?
Melissa, well, we would have some of the same values, and, you know, we agree on a lot of things. And personally, we get on all right. But what struck me was when his contribution, and this was on, I think, on News Talk this morning, or maybe it been RTE yesterday, where he's indicating, from what I'm hearing him saying, is that he will go into a Fianna Fáil government, mm-hmm. which would presumably include AIM 2 and Sinn Féin, if Micheál... That was his only qualification. He said he won't go in with Fine Gael. And, you know, that is effectively, with or without Fine Gael, that's effectively a return.
But what choice does he have? If he wants to gain some sort of power, he has to go in with somebody. He's not going to get enough candidates to form a government on his own.
What I would rather he would say is that he will try and form a government firstly, and whether we can achieve it or not, with like-minded individuals, not people who have sought to destroy
be realistically, if he gets 10 seats, he's not going to find another 130 somewhere else of independence, is he? Realistically.
No, well, that remains in the will of the people of this country.
You're asking for a miracle now, Malachy. You know, there will be some level of change, but there won't be that big.
People on the 15th of November have a choice to make in this country. It's whether they vote for people whose intent is the destruction of our way of life, of our country, and of everything that stands.
Oh, no, five more years and we're done. Five more years and we're done.
Niall, six more months and it's done. You know, and Melissa, I think it was there, mentioned the citizenship ceremony today. These are happening on a regular basis. It is the easiest country in the world to get citizenship in. You don't even have to, if you go to America, for instance, for citizenship, you have to do an exam. about the country.
Well, you have to sign allegiance to the country and all that kind of carry on, yeah.
Well, they do that here, but they all do it together, and it's just like swearing on the Bible in court. It means absolutely nothing.
Well, stay there for a second, Maliki. Let me just
hold on. In America, to get citizenship, you have to be able to speak English.
Yes,
or American, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you have to be 6 years in America to get citizenship.
We have devalued citizenship in this country.
I know, an Irish passport is like a Smarty at this stage. Stay there, Maliki, if you can.
When we're in power, we will be changing the citizenship legislation.
Nuala. Hi, Nuala. How are you doing?
Not too bad, though.
Good. I agree with Maliki about citizenship, by the way. You should have, according to the rules of citizenship, you had to have worked in the state for 4 of the previous 5 years, allegedly, and not been dependent on the state. And yet I know of people, and I've heard of people, who've been dependent on the state since the day they got here, and they're still getting citizenship. So it blows my mind. Anyway, Nuala, getting back to, you know, the voting. You know, Maliki says, you know, vote for him. Vote for independence. If enough people do it, we can get change. But I can't see enough people doing that.
Well, I can't either, but I think an independent can't have power. He can have, like, because, there's either Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and to add in, what's it called, Sinn Féin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I cannot see Fine Gael going along with Sinn Féin. So I think independents could be power brokers in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand.
Because,
so were you with the Labour Party at one stage, weren't you, Nuala?
Oh, I was, yeah. I ran for the Labour Party in the local elections.
Okay, would you vote for them now?
Well, I think I might give them a stroke down.
You'd be on your own there.
You are on your own. I mean, Nuala, the Labour Party kind of vanished off the face of the earth but after Joan Burton's time, around 2018-19. They kind of vanished. So what, I don't have much hope for the Labour Party.
You see, they've gone more wokish, and there's hardly any. But like when I was at a constituency meeting, like, I was the only person there around the table that was actually had worked on the factory floor. You know, they have lost that. They're more like kind of semi-academics, people who have nice cushy jobs in government, or not in government, in local, working for the government. And I kind of felt like the things I would bring up, they weren't issues with them. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, and even say I worked in a medical device company where there's about 3,000 people. I was the only one that was at a constituency meeting from all that 3,000 people. And you'd imagine, if it's a Labour Party, it's a workers' party, and where are the workers around the table? You know what I mean?
So what would you advice would you give to people? I'm sorry I'm rushing everybody, but what advice would you give to people in this election?
I'd say to kind of be very careful, see what's the... Like in Galway now, we have O'Keefe topped the poll and for years, but he ran a really good office. Always come back to people and all the rest. So he built up a clientele.
You're talking about Eamon O'Queeve, yeah. Yeah.
Eamon O'Queeve. Now we have Gráinne Ní Seoighe.
Oh, jeez.
No, I don't know what she thinks about anything. You know what I mean?
So I wouldn't even watch her on the telly, so why would I vote for her? Yeah, okay.
Well, she worked for RTE, so that'll tell you.
And TV3.
If I see somebody on the ticket that has a bit of passion about the things that matter, I would kind of twice that you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you mentioned her on your show again. There's no point in voting for people just because people, I like her, she's nice. That's not a reason to vote for somebody, is it? You know what I mean?
Well, one woman I know, she said, she'd be as good as any of them that's there anyway. That was her thinking on it. She didn't say, well, what does she stand for? Does she know anything about being on a housing list, or does she know anything about... to get a Medicaid card or anything. She wouldn't understand. She never had to be that in that situation.
No, I get you. Thank you for that, Nuala. Let me just go to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, hi, how are you?
Oh, good night, how are you?
Good, how are you doing, Lorenzo? What do you want to say?
Oh, good. No, I definitely have to look more into Irish politics, and because I want to go to vote, definitely, with the next elections. I honestly would have no idea at the moment who to vote, but I would probably go independent or blank in terms of...
And where are you living? What part of the country are you living in? Don't tell me your exact address, obviously. Offaly. You're in Offaly.
In
County Offaly. Okay.
Yeah.
Carol Nolan's constituency.
Yeah, Carol Nolan is out there. Yeah, there's a few people out there. Yeah.
Well, the problem I see is that even from, I mean, hearing from you or speaking with other people is not much of a difference with the Italian politics in terms of instead of go and vote for who's the best, you basically have to go with who is less the worst, basically.
who's least likely to destroy the country.
Who will do less damage instead of who is going to do better, like.
Yeah, no, I understand, so, because, I mean, look, I'd give Maliki a vote, but there are things that me and Maliki would disagree on inherently. But generally speaking, a lot of the stuff that he talks about, I would agree on. So, but in saying that, you do have to be careful because there may be some inherent issue that you completely disagree on that might be a deal breaker for voting for somebody. But here's the thing, Lorenzo, you know, not voting for a party, which is what a lot of people want to do, because I think people have lost faith in Sinn Féin because, look, somebody said to me, oh, well, I'd have to see what they're going to do. And I go, well, you've had 5 years to see what they're going to do. They did nothing. That's an opposition party. They just sat there and agreed.
They're in government.
Yeah.
I think the hope you have with independence is that they think with their own mind instead of thinking of as a flock or as a group. Because when you see, when you go to a big party, they have black and white. And even if it's something is good, by the fact that they are not the ones that are... I mean, if you say, let's do A, and we all agree that A is something good, but if it's not said by you, I will say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of mentality where it's not for me, so it's not my idea. Even if I think it's good, but it's not my idea, I will say no, because then it's not something that will, in the next election, it's something that I can't say, it was my idea.
Yeah, well, the problem is most parties obviously have a whip system. I don't know what they do in Italy, but I'm assuming they have a whip system of political parties in Italy as well, whereby even within the party, if you disagree with a policy, you have to toe the party line. So that's a problem when you have larger parties. With smaller parties, that's not a huge problem. But with larger parties, it's a big problem. Because then when it comes to a vote, you know, it means the vote is skewed. I mean, Maliki, just in relation, just very quickly, to the whip system. I mean, it is, as far as I know, it's nearly in every government, isn't it, really, around the world?
Well, every political party will impose a whip. Now, some parties will give a free vote on certain issues, like abortion, matters of conscience. Other parties won't because they're fixated on you know, destroying the country.
They didn't always give a free vote. She listened to Creighton, lost her gig because of that, didn't she?
No, I she didn't. She there wasn't a free vote on the vote on that particular vote, but in the later referendum, I think Fine Gael had a free vote.
Yeah.
Or one of the parties, but or Fianna Fáil maybe rather.
Yeah.
Fine Gael. But the others imposed a whip.
Yeah.
And in fact, they'll only allow a free vote when they know they have the numbers anyway. They're not going to lose a vote because, you know, it's very seldom. But then if you're in a party and that's its policy. You shouldn't be in the party if you don't agree with them on basic fundamental issues. You see, the problem is, and somebody touched on this earlier, is that most politicians come through the educational system where they're now indoctrinated into third level institutions with what's now called cultural Marxism. And they're all of like mind. They're all sheep. It's all groupthink. And they're afraid. They don't actually know how to think outside the box. They just parrot whatever their current party position is. And that can be the complete opposite to what it was last week. You know, I mean, if you look at McEntee, for instance, saying, oh, we're going to the poor people. When we said that, that was heresy. That was, you know,
racist.
Fascism.
Yeah.
And now that they're going to charter a plane, which they'll never do.
No. Well, they said that before the European elections too, didn't they? That's just election. Yeah.
But,
election,
you know, if anybody believes them. But the one thing that people should take from all of this, every political party in Leinster House now, take what they say coming up to this election and believe the complete opposite.
Yeah, assume it's a lie. Stay there, Maliki, if you can, for a second. I'm going to go to the rain. Before I do that, there's just breaking news coming in. I'm sure Maliki might be interested in hearing this as well. Titanic builder Harland & Wolff has said it's to collapse into administration. The iconic Belfast company that built the Titanic is said to collapse into administration. By the way, it's one of the biggest industries in Northern Ireland.
This is the second time this happened. I think had to close down. And Bombardier, I think we're closing something down there as well. But remember that Harland & Wolff was a solely, almost, certainly during the Troubles, Protestant employer. although people like Joe Carl, who was the chief of staff, the provisional IRA, did work for Harland and Wolff at one stage. But, I mean, there is no way a company like that should collapse. And
it nearly collapsed before, because the problem is the cruise ships now are all being built in places like Korea. Now, Harland and Wolff did
and
get a big...
problem.
Yeah, well, Harland and Wolff did get a big contract for something there back in 2019, wasn't it, when they were going to collapse the last time? They got a big contract. But unfortunately, that's bad news now. So they've over 1,000 employees currently, and it's a breaking news story, and they'll be publishing more details soon. But the jobs that we lost, the company's lost administration.
Imagine that Harland and Wolff, Niall, would have employed many thousands during its heyday, and it's now down to
the problem in Northern Ireland as well as I do. The biggest employer in Northern Ireland is the government. You know,
where was that?
I said the biggest employer in Northern Ireland now is the government.
Oh, no, the location you're talking about. Where was that?
Ireland, yeah, Malik.
You mean the northeast of Ireland?
Yes,
of the island.
Yes. Sorry, Lorraine. Well, Malik, he's finished being pedantic. Okay, Lorraine, who are you going to vote for?
Independent.
Okay, but
I was staunch Sinn Féin up to her being a complete and utter turncoat and her saying one thing and doing the other. I was always staunch Sinn Féin. Now, no, I have no faith in anyone that's up there. No.
And do you think that you're independent, that you'll vote for? Who have you got an idea who you're going to vote for? Do you want to name them?
The Irish Freedom Party.
Okay, well, they're not independent. They're a political party.
Yeah, but yeah.
Okay, so Herman Kelly and his buddies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to vote for Herman. And do you think, even if they got one or two seats, which is probably the likelihood at best, right? They're not going to get 10 seats. They're not going to get 15 or 20. No. Do you think they'll have any power whatsoever?
Wishful thinking, yeah. Reality, probably no. It's always the same in this country. We vote for the same people. And if we don't vote for them, they go in on the 10th or 11th vote. In this country, like, we don't, it's a joke. They just do what they want to do. If you want to be in power, they're going to be in power. Like, it's just a revolving door. How much more of this shite do we have to take before we all kind of go, okay, it's not working?
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody says that. Well, look, they get in, Leo Varadkar could get in the 8 count or something like that. But that's just our voting system. And by the way, the voting system, I don't necessarily disagree with it. At least you get, you know, your second preferences and third preferences. And Maliki, for example, wouldn't be a councillor today if it wasn't for the voting system that we have, because he wasn't first past the post. Nor was I, by the way, in the European elections. So I wouldn't have got as close as I did without having, you know, second preferences, third preferences and transferable votes. So the system does work.
Just on that, Niall, people shouldn't vote down the list. Stop after the people. You know, only vote for people you support.
Yeah.
Don't vote for people. Like, say Simon Harris got in on the 12th count. That's because people kept voting for him and there's votes still to be transferred to him. So only vote for people. And, you know, when I talk about independence, I am including people like the Irish Freedom Party, people like Ireland Force, people like the National Party and all of those groups. If they all bring in one or two TDs into the next parliament or the next Dáil, with like-minded independence, we can have a significant block, and people should remember that. And, you know, none of us are doing this.
Yeah,
because,
there was this kind of myth going around that if you didn't vote all the way down the sheet, that the government get your votes. That's not true, just to let people know.
And of course, well, voting down the list, you know, unless your man gets elected without a surplus eventually, it will keep the government in power.
Oh, well, look, it can go against you. I'm witness to that, by the way. It can go. I mean, Eoghan Reardon got 14,000 transfers from the Bleeding Green Party.
Yes,
I mean,
and
you couldn't make that up.
Earlier, Niall, you asked a question earlier about why he was elected. Now, I believed that he wouldn't. I thought he was so despised. But from the time, even before he announced he was running, when it was speculated, he wasn't off the airwaves. He was on every programme about a cat and a dog or any issue at all, O'Riordan was wheeled out by mainstream media.
Oh, sure, but even during the election, he was on TV3 for half an hour one night. They wouldn't even let me on. You know what I mean?
Well, they didn't let me on anywhere.
this is true. I did fight your case, by the way, Maliki, at one point.
Me.
I know. Sorry, Lorraine, just getting back to... So you do believe that independents, even on their own, can make a difference or can make some sort of difference?
Yeah, well... They can't do any worse than what's in there now.
Mm.
Like, in all fairness, we vote, as you said, like, in this country, it's always Sinn Féin, it's Fianna Fáil, it's Fine Gael. It's not working. We're all noticing that in the past 5 years. Their policies they've said they're going to bring out, they don't. They're going against their word. As you said, Helen McEntee now is is going to deport migrants, but yet you wanted to bring them all in. Like, they're all flipping and turning and twisting and...
Well, then, see, the reason I'm talking about it today is it shocks me that Roger Gorman said he has no regrets on immigration in his term of office. And I find that mind-blowing. When you consider the chaos at the moment, he says he has no regrets. That just shows you how delusional they are.
He has no regrets being friendly with Peter Tatchell either, so, you know, I wouldn't take what he says with it.
Yeah.
But, has we were discussing on this podcast the other day, the two Chinese people that came in and were given McDonald's, and he doesn't regret it. And no, you're a Muppet. Just shut up. Stop talking. You don't represent me. Stop trying to represent Ireland and stop talking bollocks and just shut up. he annoys me. He just is like, just shut up.
Okay.
Stop talking.
So is there anybody in the government parties that you think deserves your vote at all?
No.
And how does it make you feel knowing that most likely predictions are that we will end up with the same government again?
It annoys me because everybody bitches and whinges and moans about the government and bitches and whinges and moans about this, that and everything else, but nobody does anything about it. Like, everyone has a right to go out and vote for change. Everyone has a right, even if you just want to spoil your ballot, you're counted.
That is the biggest problem. People don't actually vote. They tell you they're going to vote, but they don't because they're not registered. If you look at working class areas, particularly of the country, you know, they have a low turnout. You know what I mean?
Everyone sits and bitches and whinges and says how the government is fucking everything up and how it's all destroyed and everything else. Go out and do something about it. Don't sit in your hands. Don't bitch and whinge. Register to vote and go out and vote for change. Stop moaning.
All right, Lorraine, thank you for that. And Malachy, thank you very much indeed, Malachy Steenson.
Thanks, Mo.
Okay. By the way, have you established if you're running for election or not? You are, aren't you?
Me, I am, of course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. Well, you didn't want to announce it the last time I was talking to you or something like that.
Oh, I did. I said it to you the last day.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a long time ago. Yeah. No, I made it clear the last day.
Right.
And anybody who wants to help in the campaign, you know, feel free to contact us across any of the social media.
What's the best way to contact you?
I suppose on messages, or Google me and you get my phone number, send me a message. On WhatsApp, Twitter. We have a new website, which will go live this week. All of the social media, for me, TikTok.
Okay.
Various different things.
So if you want to volunteer to put up posters or whatever it is you want to in and around the
area. There's a role for everybody.
Okay. This is Malachy. Thanks very much indeed. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We go to Bernie. Bernie, hi. How are you?
I'm grand, Niall. How are you? In your birthday week.
On my birthday week, Bernie. There you go. It is my birthday week. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
Notice Lorraine didn't sing, by the way.
I noticed that.
You know why? She's too worried about her dog. Because they're eating your dogs. They're eating your cats.
Did you hear him?
They're eating your pets.
Oh, he's a knob. He's an even bigger quack. Oh, God.
So, Bernie, okay, so, who are you going to vote? I mean, is there any point in vote for small parties and independents? Because they don't really do very much and they don't have very much power.
Well, I'm really going for just Herman Kelly. I really don't know anybody else I would even trust at this stage. And to be honest, Niall, I think they should be out on this with the teenagers. All these kids in college have no idea how this country runs and they don't care. Somebody's going to have to teach them. Because the country is destroyed. I mean, I see the 3,000 whatever getting citizenship here and they can't even, you know, they can't even speak our language. Come on.
I know. It is.
It's absolutely disgraceful. But they know how to fill out the frigging cards and the forms for the medical cards and everything. And they're getting ahead of all of us. And I'm sorry, I never was felt like this before, but I'm really strong about it now. And if these independents don't get in, I don't see any option but have to emigrate.
Yeah, but Radhika Gorman says he has no regrets, by the way.
He should hang his head in shame and they should not get pensions. Mm. Whoever gets in should stop these guys getting pensions because they've ruined the country for the last 10 years.
Mm. Well, the problem is most likely they're going to get back in again because according to all the polls and all the predictions, it'll be the same government again, the same kind of mixture again. It doesn't look like Sinn Féin are going to get in there because they won't have enough seats.
I wouldn't touch them, though.
And I have people say to me, I will maybe give them a chance and see what they're like. And I said, have you not just seen what they're like over the last 5 years as an opposition? They're useless. pointless.
Absolutely. And hear Mary Lou on there about her dad died and her husband got sick out on the plane. That's fine and dandy, but and she had a hysterectomy. There's so many people and a lot. What about the child who's waiting for scoliosis surgery? Why do we care? Why do they not care about the people? Why are we to listen about their?
I mean, look, I'm sorry to hear about Mary. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about Mary Lou's personal issues, and you know we all have our own personal issues.
We all have.
But with the greatest respect, that's not the people's problem. The people's problem is they want someone to run the country, and if she's in a position personally where that she's not able to do that for whatever personal issues are happening, and I am sorry to hear that. Well, then maybe somebody else should be running the party.
Well, exactly. Take it out. I mean, we all have issues and personal issues, and we all get on with it. Then Roderick O'Gorman has never had a night up with a child who's teething or a child who's ill. He's never sat in a hospital casually with a sick child. He's never done any of those things.
And maybe, maybe he has nephews or nieces. I don't know. He might have. I don't know.
But he's never done it. But you know yourself, Niall, unless you're a parent or unless you're an educator, unless you're a nurse or unless you're a guard, you don't have a clue what's on the ground. And you can't be in a position of power lording it over the rest of us when you don't have a clue what the country is about.
The last 3 ministers for children, I don't think, have had children.
No, they haven't. And I mean, it's not acceptable. Why are we allowing this? We're the people. Why are we allowing it?
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I agree with you. I've always said Minister for Justice should be a barrister or a solicitor. Minister for Children should at least have a child. The Minister for Education should have been a teacher or a principal of a school. You know, a Minister for Finance should have been an accountant. I always agree that those people should be, you know, have an understanding of the job they're in. Absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. But I mean, it's blatantly obvious. Look at the guy who got the money for the bike shit. Like, that had to be somebody's friend. We're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got a backhander there. Here, you have the job. Mm-hmm. It has to be a friend or a brother or some in-law. Like, that didn't go to the public service. That didn't go to the OPW. It didn't go to the councils to build that.
Oh, you can be absolutely clear. Somebody knew somebody to get 335 grand for a job that's worth 20 grand. Somebody knew somebody. But we'll never know. Micheál Martin was asked this by Grip Media and he kind of sniggered and laughed it off.
He laughed at Ben Scanlon. That's absolutely disgraceful. That poor man is out there trying to fight for us, Ben Scanlon and John and Sarah. And I think it's absolutely appalling that they've been ignored. Nearly, you know, they roll their eyes when they see them in asking relevant questions. For us, the people, who's going to stand up for us if Grip aren't there? Who else? You and who else?
Yeah, well, this is the problem, and this is why it's so important that we support media like Gripped and like us as well. Listen, Bernie, Bernie, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Connie. Connie, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who are you going to vote for, Connie?
Not sure yet, Niall, because there's not much around in our local area here. Derek lies in a different constituency. Independent, definitely. Like, there's no point in voting for anything else.
And who did you vote for last time?
And the last time, in general election.
Can you remember?
No. I can't remember. There's very little to vote.
And do you think when you vote for an independent, you know, and they go into the Dáil or they become a sitting TD, do you think they make a difference?
Apart from the Healy Rays, maybe, you know.
Yeah, they make a bit of a difference locally, I suppose, they make a difference.
I don't know, they're as bad as the rest of them, I would say.
I mean, the Healy Rays are great for the local community, right? And the people who vote for them. But are they any use on a national level? That's the problem.
They're only lining their own pockets. They're as much traders as the West, Niall. They own loads of the IPA centres and stuff.
They own hotels that are renting out rooms to government, to the Department of Justice.
They're renting them out. But there is some independents that make a difference. And if you get enough independents, I suppose, that's the only chance. There's no point in voting for any of the rest of the traitors that are there because they've shown their colours. Mm-hmm. You know, if anyone's going to vote for them. And yes, I agree with what the last caller said, we need to educate our younger people because we're going to be outnumbered soon with the way things are going. And we need to educate the ones to make sure they register to vote and they cast their vote wisely. You know,
does it disappoint you that most likely the same government are going to get back in this election? And they've already said this weekend, Minister Roderick O'Gorman says he has no regrets about on immigration. No regrets.
Look, you know, something justice is coming for him. Justice is coming for him and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. That's all I hope for. Niall, disappointed is a mild word. I feel like just going off grid and just getting out, I don't know, setting up my own little place and just...
Where? In Ireland or abroad?
Oh, Ireland, yes. I'm Irish to the core, Niall.
Yeah.
And I've lived abroad, so I've done that. But no, Niall, I mean, you know, I was actually said it this morning to somebody. I said, if we can't find someone independent and decent in this constituency, I'm not voting. for the first time. I'm sorry to Michael Collins, all the rest of the people that came before us that fought for our vote. And I know we should vote. But by God, for, you know, it's down here in my constituency, it's very, people are very kind of, they stick with the same parties.
That's the problem, isn't it? They kind of stick me down voting for Fianna Fáil, so I'll vote for Fianna Fáil. Yeah.
Yeah, crap policy, like, you know. Yeah, and yeah. I know plenty of them going, but I wouldn't vote for them, you know. So I don't know now, I'll have to wait. But the fact, yeah, you talked about Mary Lou MacDonald, so we don't, we all have problems. We don't need to know her. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for her. No. Or any of them, Sinn Féin.
Well, no, well, on a political point of view, I have no sympathy for her, but on a personal level, of course, I do. She's a
human being, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I have empathy,
yeah.
Yeah.
Of
but
course.
I mean, be honest, look, she's thinking money to fix her problems, you know. There's people.
Money doesn't always fix every problem, but in saying that.
Maybe I'm a bit harsh. But I'm just saying that, think of all the old people that are afraid that they're not there heating or they mightn't have enough to eat, you know. I have more sympathy for them people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, I get you.
Yeah, so I mean, I hope that somebody, we're trying to find out if there's somebody here in our constituency who will go forward, hopefully. And, you know, you always have hope if you vote for one of the independent parties.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if they all come together. Like, for example, Peter O'Donoghue, who they're from, he's only in the locals, but I think he's going forward, but he's too far away from me. But he's made a difference already, even just being local, you know?
Yeah.
So, like Maliki, do you know, we have hope with these people. And the only thing else is to overthrow the government, I suppose.
Well, that's going to take a long time by the way things are going at the moment. Connie, thank you for that. Sorry, I have to get two people very quickly now. I do apologise. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are things?
Good. Norman, I'm listening to everybody today and, you know, everybody seems frustrated, you know, like the government don't seem to have any regrets, even though they've made a complete bollocks of the country over the last 5 years. They don't seem to have any regrets whatsoever. And they're going to continue to do more of the same. And most likely they will get elected and do more of the same.
Yeah.
So who are you going to vote for?
I don't know. I'd be more like for Claire Daly or Mick Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
That type of person. I've been a lifelong voter in Spain, but this time I'm very serious about thinking of not voting for them with their wrong pro-establishment stance on, say, COVID, the Ukraine, and a number of other things. They're more like Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, who I'd never, ever vote for.
Yeah.
So I don't know what route they've gone down or what's happened to them at all, but...
Yeah, well, Claire Daly, now, I don't know. Has Claire Daly announced if she's running? I'd say she probably will, because she obviously can get elected in the European elections.
I hope so.
Yeah, but she'll be running in Swords. So. Yeah, in the Swords area. That's where she normally runs. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah. But that'd be the type of person I'd vote for. Mm-hmm. And like the previous caller, if I can't vote for... I've always voted, and I think you should always vote. But this, if I can't find a candidate, I'll just have to maybe just give it a miss. But I'll definitely never vote Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, or Labour.
Or Sinn Féin, for that matter, by the sounds of it.
Well, unless they get their act together,
Get their act together in 2 months? Are you joking me?
No. I don't know what's happened to them. I don't know why they've gone so pro-establishment.
They're clearly, and I say this without any apology, they're the worst opposition party in the history of the state.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a personal opinion, by the way.
Yeah.
They've opposed practically. They went with the government on almost everything, particularly like the referendum was the telling point, wasn't it? Telling people to vote.
That was a complete and utter.
The hate speech laws were another one as well. They tried to deny then that they voted for the hate speech laws, but sure, it's a matter of record. They all voted for them, every single one of them.
Yeah.
So you know, they ran with the government to make life easy.
Yeah. Exactly. And that thing, I think a lot of people in that the amendment referendum were clearly against it, and for very good reasons, a variety of reasons. Mm. I had other reasons than other people, but we all had very good reasons. And they just caved in. They just said, oh, we'll run. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know how.
Sure, at one stage, Sinn Féin turned around and said if they lost the vote and got a no vote, they'd rerun the referendum. Do you remember they said that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I
they backed down on that pretty quickly when they seen the result was overwhelming. But I guarantee will rerun us. They will try and rerun us.
Well, they better not. Mm. And the last time I'll vote for them, if that's the case.
Well, maybe you should think about that before you even vote for them this time. Anyway, does it disappoint you that the same government are probably going to get in again? Yeah, it sure does.
I think so, yeah. It was just funny you talking about that. A friend of mine, my sister-in-law, she's... She works with children, you know, here in Denmark. And I was talking to her the other day, and one of the children has some problems. And a taxi came to collect the child. And I said, who's paying for that? And no, that's paid for. It's included in the childcare.
Oh, wow.
So
right.
the parents can't collect the child and bring it to her house. So
right.
Taxi's done. So
all paid for.
You know?
Yeah, out of your taxpayers' money. Norman, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Let me go to Gladys as well. Gladys, hi. How are you doing?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
Good. I'm sorry I'm rushing everybody now. But
Yeah.
Okay, so have you decided who you're going to vote for? Election is coming very soon, I imagine. Have you decided who you're going to vote for?
Well, I could cry because I literally politically homeless. Absolutely homeless. There isn't a one that, even if I bunched them all together, you could make a fully functional human being. Out of all of the different ones, you know, bits of them, you couldn't make anything or any sense out of them.
Mm.
So I don't know what I'm going to do. But I always voted. I value my vote. But when you're pure and utter Wally,
and is every one of them in your area complete Wallys?
Utter.
I haven't heard the word Wally in years. You're a Wally.
You know, I mean, I have other stronger words that I would like to use.
Gobshite is always a good word.
Yeah. Well, it's just Mayfainers. Literally, Mayfainers. You know, I have one, you know, sort of thing that doesn't even know what kind of child he has, you know? So that's kind of worrying. Do you know what I mean?
I think I know where you're from now, by the way. All right.
Yeah. So you'd be certainly worried, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't identify what kind of child you have. You know, like you're not going to be helping my country, you know? I just feel saddened that Fine Gael, I was just looking at the things just before I came on the air. They're up in points, Fine Gael. So somebody is very happy.
Yeah.
The wealthy are very happy.
Yeah.
The wealthy, they're making major bucks. Are very happy, don't have to see anything walk along human poo, they don't have to see any of that.
But look where we're gone, right? If you look at the polls, the latest polls now Sinn Féin, of course, after the last election, their polling went up to like 20s, I think it was 27.
Yeah.
They're back down now to the mid to late teens, right? Okay,
yeah.
Which shows you we're back to where we were before the last election. And in other words, what's going to happen is most likely the same thing again, but Sinn Féin will get less votes this time. So, realistically, we're back to the same government again.
Yeah.
Maybe with the exception of the Green Party. Yeah. Hopefully they'll be annihilated completely.
Well, if they're not, then there's no justice in the world. You know, first thing, like, I mean, you've got the worst. I can't imagine, or I've never heard ever in all my years of voting and looking at elections and checking out this, that and the other, have I ever come across a minister that is so disliked than your man O'Gorman? I've never heard people talk about a minister in the way that they talk about him. That he literally, I think, on his shoulders, he's this fellow that with no regret. He needs to have a good look in the mirror or have a head wobble.
No, well, even the best politician will have some level of regret. I mean, you know what I mean?
Human being, as a decent human being, say, look, could have done that better.
Yeah.
Could have done this, whatever. This guy has a single-handedly destroyed our country. Destroyed and brought about a division that we never needed to have or needed. And his arrogance is the worst I've ever witnessed.
He'll tell you he has no choice, that he has a European obligation.
Oh, that's bullshit. Mm. You know it's bullshit.
Yeah. I hear we're obliged constantly being used in the dog.
Well, you know, there's been proof to lie about that. That is not true.
It's not the case.
If other countries like Denmark and you name it can stand up and say, no, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it because we value our citizens. We are not valued in this country. In fact, it's really hurtful to say that.
Mm.
To actually think, as a citizen of your own country that you were once extremely proud of, that you're not valued in any shape, way or form, you know? So I don't know what water they're drinking or what they're at or who they're mixing with. Do you know what I mean? Or when they put their head in their pillow.
Or maybe the better question is, what's in it for them? Yeah, and that's probably the better question.
Yeah, well, we can be assured that, you know, those things, that they will have their private medicine that they live in nice houses away from any kind of anything.
And then get a fancy job in Europe at the end of it.
There you go. Mm. There you go. So they don't care, and their children will be sorted.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And their children and whatever. Mm. So it's a kind of a lineage. They will be sorted. And honestly, to think that none of them, not one can I think of that I feel has a pride in their own country. Not one. Certainly that I could vote for, that I'm allowed to vote for. Do you know what I mean? Unless I move.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming maybe Ain 2 will have a candidate in your area. Would you give them a vote?
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. And I would like to disagree with that lady that you said that was going for election. In the last election, I gave Ain 2 a vote because they were the only ones that talked about migration.
Mm-hmm.
The only political party that talked about it. So that lady is factually incorrect.
I think she initially referred to what Paddy was saying when he was with Sinn Féin, but that was a different kettle of fish altogether. That was a long time ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sort of thing like, and I don't like kind of the, you know, keep your facts and at least be factual about whatever if you're going to bitch on somebody.
Paddy has spoken openly about immigration and what his plan is. He said it again today, what his plan on immigration is. Now, there are individuals who believe he isn't hard enough, because there are individuals out there who want some sort of radical plan whereby, you know, we just basically literally close the border. That's not going to happen, because we need That's people to come to Ireland to work. No.
What is wrong with just a normal system? I mean, nobody, I don't think any reasonable human being would ever have an issue with somebody, you or I, with our qualifications and with our wanting to whatever, and there's a need in Cork, Donegal, wherever.
To work.
They need an engineer, for instance. They need whatever your type of...
Nobody's an immigrator or an issue with people most people, normal people, don't have an issue with people coming into the country
to work. Coming over on your own, right? Yeah. You get your job. You pay for your own accommodation, you pay for everything like we all have to do. Nobody has a problem with that. But the idea is that you come in a lorry, nobody knows who you are, what you are, and give you a hamburger and a nice little bed, you know, and say, there you go now, that's terrible. All the way from China or Spain or wherever the hell. Yeah.
Come on, we bring you to McDonald's.
And a welcome pack, you know what I mean? Maybe a toy, you know what I mean, within the bag. You know, you play with that.
Happy meal. You
know. Happy meal, exactly. And off you go. And nobody thinks,
Nobody sees the joke in that at all. When I say it is a joke, it's a joke. Gladys, listen, thank you for that. I'm sorry that you don't have anyone to vote for in your area so far anyway. Let me just go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
And they're giving out to me here because I've literally got 5 minutes. But go on, Jackie.
I have another word for you. And a friend of mine uses it quite a lot. Gowl.
Gowl is a great word. I'll pass it on to Gladys. Gowl.
Yeah. Now, the thing when I look at independent parties and it's so fragmented in a way that you have a lot of people, you know, with the same kind of views on certain things, and then it kind of falls apart then on other things. But the fact that they're so kind of remaining independent, like naturally enough, as the name suggests, then the power then isn't there. And it never will be unless that they start coming together and start doing something together. And, you know,
they won't, because they fight with each other all the time. They argue with each other. And, you know, we've seen that even in the European elections. I had other candidates who were nationalist candidates telling people not to vote for me. You know, or not to give me a second preference or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sure, look, isn't it always been the problem throughout the centuries with Ireland, with Irish people fighting with each other?
When they want the same goal.
And yet we want the same thing, but no, we can't, you know, we can't support this lad or we can't support that lad because of some stupid thing, you know, and if you, you know, if you say to me, well, Jackie, who are you going to vote for? I'm scratching my head in a way, like it's.
So will you be voting independent, or does it disappoint you that it looks like it's going to be the same government again?
It really is. I cannot understand with Fine Gael going up in the polls. And yet, it's like as if the whole immigration thing is not a problem. again. It's out of the media. It's out of the mainstream media in a way.
Well, the media have a lot to answer in this country. The mainstream media and the main media have a lot to answer for in this country because they don't challenge the government. They're in the government's pocket. No. You know what I mean? And particularly when the government are given, you know, RTE, for example, 700 million or over 700 million, you know, there's a conflict of interest, massive conflict of interest.
Yeah. And sure, how many, who went in and looked at the whole, the bike shed?
Yeah. But, and then you've got RTE, you've got RTE version two, sorry, News Talk, I meant. You've got, I mean, really, they don't challenge the government either. You know what I mean?
No. But the problem here, Niall, is that there is a whole lot of people out there, and that's all they listen to. So the likes of your show and Drip Media and all various, they don't get, they're not allowed to get to the majority of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem lies. So now, you know, coming to the next general election, they're saying, well, it looks like the whole immigration thing, they're not talking about it anymore. Ah, well, the housing thing, oh, well, they'll have so many 30,000 or 40,000 more houses. Oh, they'll be grand. We'll be all back up and running again. But we won't be.
No.
Because the actual truth isn't coming out.
Well, we won't be because everything, as Malachy rightly pointed out, on every other issue we have, including education, housing, and all those other issues we have, are all directly affected by immigration. And if Roderick Gorman is right, and he believes the demand is going to increase over the next 5 years for people coming into the country, we've already got 30,000 per year. He reckons it's going to get higher, according to his own words, by the way, in the Irish Daily Mail. Well, then we're going to have a bigger problem. Thank you for that, Jackie. Let me go to Tara. Tara, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things?
Good. And I'm sorry to wish everybody, I'm going to have to restrict it to 2 minutes each here now just for the last three callers.
No problem.
I do apologise. Go ahead, Tara.
So I will be voting for the Irish Freedom Party. I'd consider voting for AIM2, but I would, if not, I'd vote for independence in line with my own values.
Okay.
Like this corruption, human trafficking, benefit fraud, and the brown envelopes, they will all continue if we don't give new faces a chance. Like Roderick O'Gorman is shamelessly smug about his lack of regret regarding immigration and the consequences that have occurred as a result of those illegals. He's literally telling us what will continue if he gets in again. So I would rather take the risk on new faces than have to endure another government with the same parasites. But regardless of who people vote for, though, the important thing is not to fall for the insulting manipulation employed by the government, you know, where they promise changes but they don't make any actual hard commitments or sign anything to start the process of whatever they've promised. Like, I would hope people would question, well, if you're promising this now, why haven't you done it before now? And another tactic that I would hope people would not fall for would be the stunt pulled by the likes of Fianna Fáil, where they hire celebrity puppets to run for election. And another tactic as well of manipulation that we'll see a lot of would be these sudden bursts of funding from the government to small clubs and organisations. And then you see those clubs heaping praise on the party or the minister for securing them the funding. It would make you sick to see people falling for that. Earlier this year, a famous church in the west of Ireland were bending over backwards to thank Minister Heather Humphreys for nearly $6 million in funding for a restoration project. That funding miraculously appeared at the end of May. The local elections were on June 7th. And that church Facebook page was praising Minister Humphreys for securing it for them when they should have been saying, well, it's about bloody time, Heather. Where the hell was this money until now? You've been throwing money at people who aren't even from here and want to burn down churches. Why did we have to all but beg for your support? You know, we're too Irish. We're too afraid to rock the boat and offend anyone. And we're also afraid to change, which is our... there's a comfort in what you know, even if it's poisoning you. And that's why some people will still listen to RTE, they'll still vote for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, despite the fact that the change those parasites will bring about will be the most destructive of all. And they're only interested in making life better for the people being trafficked here. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, we're in for years of tribunals, and we will see then that the brown envelopes never went away. They just went online under the guise of vague names like consultation fees and so on. And I know this has been brought up already, but we have to ask the question, who actually benefited from that 300 grand bike canopy? It wasn't even a shed, it was a canopy.
Yeah.
You know, Harris's refusal to get specific on this matter is giving the distinct impression that someone high up in Leinster House financially benefited from that racket. And let's not forget, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have form when it comes to corruption, and they're still corrupt. The company responsible for that canopy should be forced to open their books to forensic accountants. There's no point in asking Harris anything. I think we've learned that now. He makes it up as he goes along. You need to ask the accountants. And we need parties.
We need to know who signed off on it. Somebody's signature is on a page somewhere that said, yeah, exactly. 335,000 sounds like a reasonable price. You know what I mean? So somebody's signature there. And you are right, by the way. Somebody benefited from it along the line.
Oh, Definitely, yeah. Definitely. And I made that point, actually.
Well, there are stories circulating already online. I can't repeat them, obviously, on the air because we don't know if they're true or not. But there are stories already circulating online in relation to who got the contract, why they got the contract, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
But it is up to the minister. It's up to Micheál Martin and it is up to Simon Harris to be transparent in relation to this and fully investigate it.
The way that Micheál Martin dismissed Ben Scanlon's question, like, you're kind of annoying me, it was a kick in the face to every taxpayer and every voter who has asked the same question. It's kind of like, no, it's not that simple. It is that simple. And someone commented underneath a Grips article saying that give a woman a computer in 5 minutes and she'll have the names and addresses of every builder that was involved in that. I'm telling you,
and their girlfriends.
A woman would have the names of everyone who so much as glanced at the accounts.
And everybody who owns a bike to put into it as well.
Exactly.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Tara, listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Let me go to Jonathan. Jonathan, hi. How are you doing? There's no stopping Tara with words, I tell you.
No, that was lovely to listen to.
Yeah, sorry, Dave, which is 2 sec. Sorry, Dave, I do apologise. Go ahead. Sorry, Jonathan. I've got...
Look, I said...
I've got 1 minute, Jonathan. Go ahead.
The reason Roderick Noel is not apologising is because he's getting the patent ahead from his overlords in Europe. Now, let's get it out of our head. This government is not in charge of this country anymore. Haven't been for a while. It's outside influence that are running this country. But I go back to one of the main things that I think is very important, as you said in the local elections. It's learning how to vote properly. Start teaching your children how to vote and vote properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wasting votes and spoil votes unintentionally and all that. Like, who's to say you don't go to Europe if people just know how to vote properly?
Yep. Well, probably, you know.
And look, all we have in charge now in this country is narcissistic sociopaths. That's what these people are, to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They've given up on us years ago. You know, it's all about Europe now and what Europe wants and what Europe needs and affect the Irish. That's what it is at this stage. And we need to stop capitulating to this and bending over and just taking it.
So who you vote
like
for?
Like you said.
Who you vote for?
I voted Sinn Féin all my life, all up to the last election, because I've seen through them, like I said, I've seen the colours. But it was the National Party and it was Independence about 4 or 5 down my area, and that's where I stopped. I didn't continue down the list. I voted National Party candidate and then a couple of independents to go along with them with the same kind of outlook on what should be happening in this country.
Yeah.
But no, I think the voting thing, no more than anything else, is what you should be teaching your children in school. This is the stuff they should be getting educated on in school. Important stuff that will affect them and their future.
Thank you for that, Jonathan. Let me go to Dave. Sorry, Dave, you're the last caller. I do apologise for keeping you waiting for so long. Actually, I don't mind wasting 10 minutes.
No, you don't. Don't lie to me. Yeah, don't lie.
Yeah, so Dave, there's a level of frustration here with all the callers today. You know, if I listen to everybody echoing the kind of same thing, there's a frustration that they all know the result of this election is going to be the same government back in power again. So really, what's the point anymore? We've kind of just thrown our towel into the ring now.
Yeah, we see, kind of therein lies the problem. I mean, like, one of the biggest problems we have, like, look at the affluent areas as opposed to your more kind of maybe run-down working class areas. Look at voter turnout. And, you know, because I hear, like, it infuriates me when I say I go for a pint and I hear lads, like, pontificating about how we should fix the country and this fella's an arsehole and that fella's useless at his job. And I'd be like, well, did you go out and vote last time? Sure, why would I bother my arse doing that? It won't make any difference.
Here's an idea. Why not change our voting system to something similar to the American system, where each constituency is won and lost?
Even better one, like the Australian system. If you don't get out and vote, you get fined €20.
Yeah, okay.
You get a fine of €20. It's not a massive amount of money.
It's actually $200.
It's not going to drive you into poverty, but at the same time, if you think there's a threat of you using 20 quid, you're going to say, I think it's sure.
20
quid's
no good.
So.
No, 200. They fine you 200 in Australia if you don't vote.
Do you know what? Fuck it. We go hard or go home on this one. 10 grand. If you don't get out and vote, you get fined 10 grand. Imagine the infrastructure we could build with that.
You know what? It's a good idea. And I also thought, as I said to you, you could do a similar system to America, i.e. so whoever wins in Coolock, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, that's 1 point for them. So that's how you get your votes across. Because the problem is, you've got big populations in places like Dunleary, you know, Rathdown, which is that big, big area over there, okay? So realistically, and they're Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael lands. So, and they're not going to change. So the problem is, it's skewed, isn't it?
Kind of like the electoral college vote works in America, isn't it? So the larger states don't hold sway over the smaller states,
which is a good idea. So it doesn't matter in this election if Kamala Harris gets 999,000 votes, you know, out of a million. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump only gets one vote, he's gonna lose the state anyway. So that's the end of that. Move on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Yeah, well, look, we need more engagement, because even like that, like what you were saying earlier on about vote transfers, a lot of people in this country don't understand how vote transfers work. And then a lot of it is also parish politics. So it'd be like, oh, I know that guy from Fine Gael. I hate his party, but to be fair, he helped me get a medical card. You know, that's a problem that's very endemic in Irish politics. Mm. You know, I mean, and I'm going to sound like a massive hypocrite as a independent politician in Tipperary, and you know, by any standards at all, he probably would have gone to jail years ago, but he'll have my vote for the rest of my life because he was able to sort us out. You know, like that's the one of the biggest issues we have with politics. I mean, look, I give Aon Toomey my vote. Patter left Sinn Féin over the whole abortion thing, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Like, at least the man has the strength of his own convictions. Mm. Do you know? So, for that alone, like, I don't think they'll really might bring any change. But sure, look, give him a chance. Let him have a go of it. Once upon a time, I would have voted for Sinn Féin. And now I genuinely believe they'd bankrupt the country if we got to put him in power. So, yeah. No. Like, we're stuck for choice is the problem in this country. And, like, I know people think if you vote, you know, in a new party and they're going to do the X, Y, and Z, you need someone who's going to take on the civil service. Because the civil service are a massive problem in this country. I mean, they nearly run the country more than the state do. Look at the HSE. Look at how hostile of a working environment the HSE is. And anytime they try to affect any meaningful change in it, the civil service start kicking up their, you know, throwing their toys out of the pram and nothing ever gets done. That's one of the issues we have. And nobody ever seems to talk about it. They're just like, oh, we'll vote in a new party and there'll all be sunshines and rainbows and free pints of Guinness for everybody. And I don't think they really understand how long meaningful change will actually take.
I'm going to be honest with you, Dave. You know, realistically, if we get the same government back in again, which we will, I'm nearly 100% sure we will, looking at the polls this weekend, and Fine Gael have actually gone up again, that blows my mind. If indeed we do get the same government back in for the next 5 years to 2030, we're doomed. We're finished.
Yeah, but you know why they've gone up in the polls. So look at the stuff that they said they're going to give in the budget, like, you know, raising the pension, double children's allowance, all that kind of stuff. Mm. You know, it's just the usual, you know, election time bollocks of, oh, we'll throw a few crumbs to the masses and they'll be satiated with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So...
That's what it is. It is. It's like throwing food to the hungry, you know. That's genuinely what it is, you know. We've just become so subservient now, we're happy to take the few slices of bread off them, you know, in the hope we'll get the full slice pan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Thanks, Niall. I was actually in good form until I took this call.
Sorry, Dave. Listen, have a great day, Dave. Sorry for keeping you waiting there. I do apologise. All right, let's go to one of our WhatsApp messages here. Oh, let me just play this. Oh.
Something wrong with the voting system in our country. I swear to God, I really do. There's something definitely not right.
Something wrong with the voting system in our country. That's what she said. Anyway, it's been frustrating. I'm going to be honest with you. Really frustrating. The majority of people have absolutely, they're frustrated. They don't know who to vote for. They don't know what to vote for. Because they're sick of the same old, and I got some really bad news for you. It's going to be the same old. Judging by the polls, you'll clearly see the same gobshites are going to get back into power again, and that'll be the end of it. So I do apologise. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show, by the way. Please remember to donate. Without our show, we don't have that independent analysis by our callers to tell you what they're going to do. And it's really important that you support us. So please go to our website, nileboylan.com. You can donate or you can subscribe there once a month. You can listen back to all the previous shows. In case you had an issue listening to the live show, maybe there was a technical issue or maybe you had an issue yourself, you can listen back on our website, nileboylan.com. And all the previous shows, and also there are interviews there, by the way, as well, that we haven't put out, for example. And... you can listen to all of those interviews there, okay? By the way, some of the WhatsApp messages that come in as well, I, along with anyone else I have spoken to, said they would definitely vote for him and give him a chance in relation to, can you ask Niall to run for election? Maureen says, good afternoon, Niall and Co. I'm not voting. I'm done putting politicians back into a life of luxury while us ordinary are living like paupers. It's absolutely shocking what the people are being put through. I think that's all I have on the WhatsApps there at the moment to read out. That could be. Oh, hang on. I think I have more here. Hang on. I do apologise. Yeah. Sorry about that. John says more migration means property prices continue their endless upward trajectory. I'd like to vote for Niall, says T-Boy Harris on X. Declan says people need to get behind AIM2 or Independent Ireland. The best organised opposition parties. Yes, you might not agree with them on everything, but they're far better than Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Ivor says, do politicians lie to get elected? Yes. Do politicians lie when elected? Yes. Do politicians lie to better themselves, their families, and their friends and contributors? Yes. Do politicians accept responsibility for incompetencies, corruptions, and wrongs? No. So no surprise with the story. He was talking about, obviously, Roger McGorman having no regrets. I shall be back again with you tomorrow at 12. Until then, have an absolutely wonderful day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.